Good morning, Mayflower family and friends. Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Christ, the head of our church and the captain of our souls. We heard a great sermon last week. Thank you, Deanne. We welcome three new members into the life and ministry of the Mayflower Church. Welcome again, Randy, Charmaine, and Clayton. Yesterday, Jacob Richards and his lovely bride, Lily, were married outdoors on the square in the campus of Olivet College. Jacob and Lily will soon be a part of Mayflower Church. Jacob is our new pastoral intern as he continues his study at Western Seminary in Holland, Michigan. Be prepared to give them a very special Mayflower welcome. You will see him soon with me on this platform, with others on the worship team, and behind this sacred desk. Are you ready to worship? I am, and I know you are too. Take it away, Deanne, and make that piano do what God intended it to do. We have come through a week when we have all been reminded of everything that is good about the unrealized, yet unrealized ideal of America, of equality and freedom for all. We witnessed three former presidents coming together, Republican and Democrat, to eulogize a man, John Robert Lewis, who modeled the highest ideals of what it means to be human, to be an American, but most of all, to be a courageous follower of Jesus Christ. That is what motivated him, and he made this a better world. He became the conscience of Congress, and I quote him this morning as we begin our worship. We must lay down the burden of hate, because hate is too heavy a burden to carry. End quote. Let us, as we enter this sacred hour of worship, lay down every burden of hate, bitterness, resentment, pride, prejudice, and fear, and exchange it for the Christ-like qualities of love, compassion, empathy, courage, understanding, and inclusion, God being our helper. Let us pray. O Lord, this sanctuary is not far away from many people who don't look like us, perhaps vote like us, think like us, or have the same experiences like us. Amazingly, we all live in neighborhoods where that same truth likely applies. So we humbly ask, as we begin our worship, to enlarge our vision, expand our hearts, broaden our minds, and give us increased capacity to love like Christ, as we are deeply moved by sacred music, motivated by the words of the prophet Isaiah, and challenged by the proclamation from this holy desk as our pastor shares his heart with the congregation he has come to love as they have shown him Christ-like love. May it be so now and forevermore. Amen.
Come give to me.
Just a reminder, especially to all those tuning in online today, it is the first Sunday of the month, and we will celebrate communion, and we will do that virtually. But just a reminder, if you have not gotten your juice and bread or whatever your elements are, just make sure you have that ready as we share and come to the table together. Let us pray. O Lord, thanks for the rain. Thanks for the pennies from heaven, which bless the farmers and feed the world. Help us to be ever so alert to all our blessings, which give us motivation to put cynicism aside, replace it with hope, and accompany it with action. Give us the knowledge that we can always do something about what is wrong in this world, whether it be racism, mass incarceration of minorities, or economies which aid the rich and penalize the poor. Instill in us the hope of Christ for a better world where comradeship and unity rule our land, where cooperation and understanding exists between nations, and politicians put aside personal interests to become agents of change, compassion, and inclusion for the good of all peoples. Change our despair into optimism, because if we don't use the faith we claim, there really wouldn't be any reason to continue this service of worship. So give us boldness and courage in our prayers, even as we pray for an end to the pandemic, for energy and wisdom to those working so diligently on a vaccine, and our willingness to work with God to help bring answers to our prayers, justice to the oppressed, and more love for and toward each other. So, Lord, we thank you for the answers to many of our prayers, as some have given personal testimonies to me this week. For the love of family, we thank you. For the joy of Christian community, we thank you. Now, we pray for those within our care and love, those we mention and those we don't. Linda Williams, in her continuing physical needs, thank you for her love and care for us and Mayflower Congregation. For Marion Sawyer in her continuing struggle with pain and the possibility of being reunited with daughter Gail. For Laura's son Jack, who continues in hospice. For Marjorie Cook and many others in our congregation and within our community, the broader community, who continue to need our prayers. Now help us to pray together in unity of voice and spirit the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. This well-known declaration by Isaiah begins with an invitation to a lavish feast. The guest list is surprising. Hear now these words. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Thanks be to God.
Another prayer. I need it. Let's pray. Lord, this is a holy desk. Bless and sanctify these words humbly offered in Christ's name. Amen. You don't get any answers without asking any questions. I am naturally inclined and have been conditioned, trained, and educated to question everything I read or hear, including the Bible. And for me, the results have been life-changing. This text, as most are, is pregnant with questions, which is the only path to gaining answers. So the first question is, as you heard this text that was read this morning, what was the occasion? Quite frankly, it sounds like a party or a celebratory banquet, but it begins with an appeal to the thirsty, which is very common to those who live in an arid land, like most people in the Middle East. Can you remember the thirstiest you have ever been? I do. I was on a long, difficult, three-day, 35-mile solo hike in Mount Rainier National Park. It's called the Northern Loop, an alternative 35-mile section of the Wonderland Trail, which circumnavigates the mountain. I had completed the 93-mile journey the previous year, but wanted to hike the alternate route to gain the satisfaction of having done it all. But I miscalculated my water stops. During the morning of my third day on the trail and the last, it was warmer than usual, well into the 80s by midday at a relatively high elevation in the month of September. Every established campsite was within proximity to an abundant water source. So each day began by filling my hydrator through a charcoal filter with 100 ounces of water, which seems like a lot, but goes fast in challenging conditions. And let me tell you, it was challenging. Not only was it warm, but the section of trail I was on was remote, and the opportunities for water were very limited. In the early afternoon, I passed up an opportunity to hike a half mile for a reliable source of water, because that meant a round trip of an extra mile. And I was anxious to complete the hike that day. I regretted my mistake. I misjudged how much water I was consuming because of the heat, and I would have had to have taken my entire 50-pound pack off to see how much water was left, and I didn't want to do that. Shortly after that period of time, and after I had lunch, my water supply surprisingly ran out. I had no idea where the next availability would be for water. I hiked on for what seemed like an eternity, losing energy and slowing. While I was not in a life or death situation yet, my level of concern and desperation was somewhat elevated. as you might surmise. As I staggered on, I detected up ahead the sound of trickling water. It was not a gushing stream, but it was water. I stopped, took off my pack, got out the filter, and began to fill my hydrator. But I couldn't resist the temptation to put my mouth down near the filter. And I drank and drank and drank, and I was happy no one was there to watch me. I drank to my body's content. Then I filled the hydrator and took a nap. Water. Water. In the previous chapter, 54 of Isaiah, the prophet reminds the people of God that water was once used for a destructive purpose when the story of Noah and the flood was recounted. This represents a reversal of fortune for the people of God. Come to the waters for a drink. So the next question in this setting is, what's on the menu? Scriptures tell us, as we heard from Deanne, rich foods, including wine and milk, also rare in that particular climate where pasture lands were few and far between for animals to graze, and water sources for growing and nurturing grapes were scarce. We were invited over to our next door neighbor's house Friday evening for what was supposed to be a hot dog roast in their backyard. And boy, did we get a surprise. They grilled New York strip steaks instead, cooked to order with mushrooms and mushroom sauce poured over the top. Loaded baked potatoes, including butter and sour cream, and a fresh garden salad to boot with choice of dressing. I'll take ranch, please. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Scott and Jen. How about the cost? Nada. Zippo, goose egg, diddly squat, absolutely nothing. Our neighbors did exactly what the prophet Isaiah suggested would be the cost for a feast. It didn't cost anything, and they wouldn't accept a payment. And so we savored every bite. It was a lavish, neighborly get-together, and when I saw my neighbor yesterday mowing his lawn, we both stopped and looked, and we both rubbed our tummies, still thinking about that lavish feast. So the next question is, how is the service? It's one thing to go into a restaurant and eat good food. It's another thing when you really get good service. So you've got to give it up to a God who shouts, "Ho!" which is a word used as an exclamation to attract attention. The God who flings wide the doors to the banquet, tops off the children's milk glasses, splashes around the Chardonnay and says, "It's all free." If you weren't here for my installation service or my mother's 90th, you may not have experienced how Mayflower can throw a party. A lavish party. Among other times, I will never forget those two events, both of which included meals, which were free, and included anyone I chose to invite. And trust me, I invited a lot of people to both. For Israel, a reversal of fortune was when the people so close to God's heart had paid dearly in every way for their non-cooperation, disobedience, lack of trust, and general disregard for a God who had delivered them from a life of humiliating servitude. And who loved them. What did they deserve? Maybe not much. What did they get? An invitation to a lavish feast. Why do we so often treat the ones who love us with that same sense of disregard and dismissal? Now here's the real kicker. Next question, please. Who's invited? And the answer is simply, everyone. Yes, everyone. So the guest list was lavish too. Nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Some would argue that this scripture has nothing to do with immigration, and I say they are wrong. The immigration battle going on now is nothing new to our American society that prides itself on being a nation of immigrants. So let me give you a quick history lesson. In 1798, in reaction to events in France, John Adams, the beloved patriot who fought for an anti-slavery statement in the Declaration of Independence, signed into law something known as the Alien and Sedition Acts, which increased the residency time required for immigrants to become citizens from 5 all the way to 14 years, gave new powers to deport citizens, and made it more difficult for them to vote. The Sedition Act also prohibited public opposition to the government, and under the terms of this law, there were at least 20 newspaper editors who were arrested and some of them sent to jail. This was in America. And a mere 10 years after the ratification of the First Amendment to the Constitution, giving all citizens the right to free speech. What's wrong with that picture? In the 1830s and 1840s, a strong sense of nativism arose, directed primarily against the Irish and their typical religion, Catholics. Samuel Morse, the inventor of the telegraph, ran for mayor of New York on an anti-immigrant, anti-Catholic platform. There were riots which often turned to violent, like something called the Bible Riots of 1844 in the city of Philadelphia. You'd have to read to understand how that Bible reference got in there, but it did. The Irish suffered from bigotry all through the 1800s, and employment signs often read, "Irish need not apply." They were often compared to animals and were also called the N-word. I am Irish. Asians didn't fare much better. They helped us build railroads across the country and were usually given the most dangerous of tasks in doing so. And then we thanked them by passing the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. Many are now experiencing vitriolic backlash after someone coined the phrase the China virus. And most of us know what happened to Japanese Americans in World War II, as patriotic as anyone, when we rounded them up like cattle, and they had to quickly move to internment camps, leaving most of their earthly possessions behind, little of which was ever recovered. Many Vietnamese have faced anti-immigration backlash when they were forced to leave their home country from a war we couldn't win for them. Jews have had a rough time of it too, with anti-Semitism, which is still prevalent. Many were denied entry to this country leading up to and during World War II, which meant that many might have escaped the death chambers had we been more compassionate and welcoming. And all I have to remind anyone about our treatment of Native Americans is to mention the Trail of Tears, Wounded Knee, and Little Bighorn, among many others, not to mention our history of violating many, if not most, of the treaties we made with them when it didn't happen to suit us. And you only have to listen now to or read the daily news to understand that our Civil War is not yet over, and our southern border moans and weeps with the voices of many who seek the same opportunity my ancestors did to escape poverty and persecution and seek a better life. I am fascinated by the story of my own ancestors who came to mid-Michigan from Ireland, where the economic conditions were grim, and coming here and being a lumberjack was considered a much better life. But thankfully, fortunately, we don't gather as Americans this morning, even though we are Americans. We don't gather as patriots. We gather under the banner of the cross, which symbolizes the length to which God will go to redeem, reclaim, forgive, renew, and include you, me, and everyone you are going to encounter this month who just might join us or you in communion ritual next month when you invite them to the lavish feast of fellowship and friendship, whether it be in your home, on the street, at the grocery store, or anywhere. God, through Christ, is still on the redemptive mission to invite everyone to the table. Come to the waters. Drink up. Welcome to God's lavish feast. Eat up. Thanks be to God.
Let them come.
Testing. We're on. Thank you. Barb, what a beautiful way to invite all of us to the table this morning. You have the communion ritual, most of you, and we'll ask you to follow along. There are a couple of places where we read and share together. And remembering that God's Spirit is with us all, and we are together, even if we are not in each other's physical presence. Let us pray the prayer of confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son. Amen. Hear now these words of assurance. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander, or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher, who welcomed all to the table, even those who betrayed him or those who ran away in fear. So let us offer our thanks to God with this great thanksgiving, and then you can join me in the holy, holy, holy. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your faithful prophet. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now the invitation. We welcome all of you to this table or the table in your home, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Ministering to you in his name, I offer you now this bread, the bread of life. We eat and are thankful. And now ministering to you in his name, I offer you this cup, the cup of salvation. We drink and we are thankful. And now our prayer of thanksgiving together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen.
We are called to love.
Before I offer the benediction today, I'd just like to say another word of thank you to our wonderful, dedicated, and talented worship team, including our production manager, the worship coordinator, our talented musicians, and others that support. So, we are called. We are called to do what the scriptures and this song has made it very clear. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Amen. Let me say another thank you to all of you who continue to faithfully support the ministry of the Mayflower Church in these challenging times, knowing that God has promised and God is and will continue to be with us all until we meet again. God bless you and goodbye.